You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Thanks for choosing this free Anfield Index podcast. If you'd prefer to listen to this or any of our other shows without adverts, then now's the time to check out Anfield Index Pro. With AI Pro, you can supercharge your entire listening experience. You'll not only get all of our podcasts without the ads, but you'll have them far faster with our quick publish feature available exclusively for subscribers. AI Pro also puts you in the heart of our sound studio, with an option to listen to many of our shows live and interact with the podcasters in real time as the shows are recording. Upgrading couldn't be easier. AI Pro is available on all popular podcast platforms, and we have our own apps for Apple and Android. Just head on over to AnfieldIndexPro.com and get started today.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, and welcome to another Media Matters special for Anfield Indexed. I'm pleased to say in one way we don't have to do these too often, but yeah, if you've got that Monday morning feeling like most of us after yesterday's defeat in the FA Cup quarterfinal, yeah, we'll try and help you as best we can and probably help ourselves as much as anything, shake it off. So delighted as ever to be joined by the renowned and the respected David Lynch. And David, this is the stupidest question to open with, but we always do. So how are we this morning?
Yeah, it's never good to get into a defeat, is it? It's been very rare for us to have to do this. But I think, to be honest, in the cold light today, and I had a real think about it, we'll get into a lot of these points in the podcast. Actually, not too bad, really. I think, you know, if you're going to lose, if Liverpool have to lose at some point, it's going to happen. It would have been ridiculous to go completely unbeaten between now and the end of the season. And I think this is possibly one of the, you know, it's difficult to stomach because of who it came against, but I think there were several aspects that went into it, mitigating factors that don't make you think it's kind of damning for the season. So we'll try and keep it upbeat and try and drag people out of the depression a little bit today, because I've got some good stuff to get into, I think.
Yeah, we'll try. We'll see how we get on realistically. I mean, I did want to start there in sort of where we are in context of the season. I know people are going to be saying, why are you going to this? But I think it is important to discuss. You never want to pick the games you lose, don't get me wrong. But FA Cup quarterfinal, we look at where we are. There is kind of, like, say, in terms of positivity, there's bigger fish to fry still left in the season, isn't there?
Yeah, this is not just hindsight. I would have said this if you'd have asked me before the game, that I think this is the lowest priority of the two that are left. Premier League is absolutely far and away the biggest one. Yeah. But I think the FA Cup is, you know, it's not as highly thingy as the Europa League, because it's European trips and all that's involved in that, and how big Europe's been for Jürgen, and the fact he hasn't ticked off the Europa League. It's the one trophy he wants to win yet. You know, particularly now that the draw's come out and it could be Xabi Alonso in the final as well. That all feels like a great build up to that. So I think this was the lowest priority of the three. And goodness me, you don't want to go out. Absolutely. But, you know, if it's, you know, Liverpool got a bit of a tricky draw there, didn't they, at the end of the day, and sometimes, you know, when you're trying to win a quadruple, this is why it's basically impossible, because you have to play well across all your games at all periods. And if you let it get away for you for 20 minutes across 120 minutes, you can get knocked out of the cup. So it can happen. But I do think, you know, in that context, I think this was the lowest priority. So if Liverpool were going to suffer a defeat, and if this could be the last one they suffer this season, that would be fantastic. That's entirely possible, by the way. But I think, you know, if they were going to suffer a defeat, it being this one, even though it's Manchester United, it's possibly easier to take if they can go on and get on a winning run now.
Yeah, absolutely. It's always about the comeback after the setback type of thing, and an international break to follow at the same time as well. I mean, there is so much to digest here. 123 minutes of total in football. So it's a tough one. I know we'll probably break it down into parts, but what were your honest thoughts on yesterday's performance overall?
Yeah, I said after the game that I felt Liverpool deserved to lose, and I stand by that, in the sense that I think they got dragged down to Manchester United's level, and they'll be disappointed at that. You know, shot tallies were kind of even. XG United were a bit ahead, although I think, you know, McTominay's goal is quite high XG. I think they probably get a chance from Rashford that would have been offside in there. So XG was probably level. And I think it was probably an accurate reflection of the game, in that it was level. I think Liverpool controlled the ball. I think they made 650 passes or something to United's 300 odd. They were clearly dominant in most areas of the game. But United had a lot of good spells where they looked dangerous. And I never felt that Liverpool completely controlled their threat on the counter. I never felt they were, there were periods where they did dominate it and they stopped United getting out and they penned them in. But there were periods where they were really struggling to do that as well. So I did think, even though they both had very different approaches, it was kind of an even game. And I've always thought, you know, I wrote a piece in the build up to the match actually that says that it doesn't really matter where these teams are up to and where, how good one is and how rubbish the other is. You know, especially being at home, it can always be a leveler in these games. And so it kind of proved. I mean, there was a period I wrote about that between 1983 and 1988, Liverpool win 3 league titles, the FA Cup, a League Cup and the European Cup. And I think United maybe get 1 FA Cup. And there were 14 meetings between the teams in that period. And United only lost once, which is crazy. They were rubbish in comparison. So this kind of thing is not unusual. And it's why, you know, never feel confident going to Old Trafford, because they've got this kind of, you know, I know people hate United, but they've got this magic about them, in the same way that Liverpool do, that no matter when we were rubbish, Sir Alex Ferguson was in charge at United, always give them a game at Anfield, always. Because, you know, big clubs and pride's at stake. And these are two clubs that genuinely hate each other. And I think that can be the great leveler. And I think it absolutely worked for United yesterday, in that what we saw was kind of, yes, Liverpool dominant possession, but in terms of chances and things like that, a largely even game. And that will disappoint Liverpool, because they are the superior side. You want to go there and show that. And I think that'll be the huge disappointment, is that the performance wasn't better and they weren't able to emphasize that they were the better side. But I do think there are mitigating factors, which again, I think we will come into. But I think, you know, that will be the huge disappointment. The performance, they didn't show consistently enough that they were better than Manchester United. And that's how you end up in a game that's largely even, and you can then lose that. You can concede late. You can concede late in extra time to lose the game, and not, you don't get the lottery of penalties then. So, you know, you've got to show you're better than that. And Liverpool didn't do that.
No, not at all. And I know we were messaging back and forth, especially in the opening exchanges, where United were the better team, it's got to be said. And we were talking, and that word that you kept saying was composure. That just, you know, just at the last minute, that final ball. Did you felt that was almost prevalent throughout the game? I mean, I know there was a lot of talk, and I don't want to sort of be derogatory about this player at all anyway, because he is a talent, but Kobe Mainoo, dominating the midfield. But then there was times, I know you sent me that screenshot, there's big chunks of space behind it as well. Do you think it was just composure ultimately on the day?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, United came, they burst out the traps, didn't they? They had a really intense start, Liverpool. So it was two things I criticised when the match was ongoing that I felt was Liverpool's problem. One of them was composure, and the other was their own intensity. I felt off the ball didn't sort of, they weren't matching United for that. So the first moment of real composure we see from Liverpool is when Quansah goes on that little run and basically runs through the entire United team, and then a pullback, and it's a goal, and Liverpool level. And, You know, that one moment they showed composure, they realised, look, there's a humongous gap between United's midfield and defence here. And every time that they showed that little bit, that one extra pass, that little bit of class and composure in, you know, amongst the United press, they were in behind. The gaps were unbelievable. And you're right about Maino. I mean, I actually think, you know, in the end, on balance, he had a decent performance there. And he's got great feet, though. Like, he's unbelievable on the ball. But I think in terms of if United are going to go into next season with him as their holding midfielder or one of two holding midfielders, if they play a pivot like that, then they're going to be in trouble because he's not good enough at patrolling that space, because that was the area that Liverpool continually, every time the brief occasions that they showed composure in that first half, they were basically in at the United defence. Now, Maino's brilliant on the ball, but he's nowhere near in terms of positional intelligence at this moment, which, by the way, I won't criticise him for, because he's clearly got, you know, he's an absolute class in his boots, but he's a kid and he, you know, he's going to learn that absolutely, but he isn't there. So I wouldn't go overboard on his performance for that reason, because I thought that the ease with which Liverpool could find that when they showed the composure sort of showed where the shortcomings are in Maino's game at this time in his career. And that's, you know, that was one of the big frustrations at the start of the game, is that Liverpool weren't showing that composure. And the first time they did, they scored a goal. And then the other aspect that I spoke about was intensity that Liverpool weren't matching United on. And again, one of the first moments they show that, Joe Gomez pressing situation in the corner, they win the ball from Fernandez, who, I mean, claims that's a foul, is laughable, by the way. It was a great challenge from Gomez, just gets his foot round the side. And then the 2-1 ahead off the back of those two moments. So as soon as they matched United for composure and intensity, they were all over them. They were the better side, but they just didn't, you know, it kind of came and went in waves really in the game. And I think one big factor, I think, for that, and this is probably something we should look into, is probably fatigue, to be honest. I think that was a huge factor in this game. And I don't want to just excuse everything, and it's easy to say, oh, well, you can write off any bad performance, but I do think that was a big factor in this game.
Yeah, it is a weird one. It's like you said, the intensity, but it came in waves, and it is worth exploring, because, I mean, we even go ahead for a second time, don't we, in extra time, Harvey Elliott strike, deflected. And then it came in waves, and like that 5-on-2 attack, it just felt like it may be as simple as, I don't know, because people were saying they're taking the foot off the gas and you can't get it back, which I think there's a validity to, but it's mitigation. It's not an excuse. But did you think like they were just almost gone? There wasn't that much more there to give, so to speak.
Absolutely. Because I think, you know, you could see it in the start of the match, the way United were intense, and you could see it towards the end of normal time. They started to dominate. And then in extra time, I know Liverpool go ahead at that 3-2, but even then I thought United were well on top in extra time. And then I looked at it, and it's absolutely no surprise that that was the case. So, okay, the last time Liverpool had a week-long break between games was in the build-up to facing Brentford on February 17th. That was the last time they've had a clear midweek. They played every midweek since then. So that's an entire month up to yesterday. So they played 9 games in that time. You know, one of those goes to extra time in the Chelsea game at Wembley, then obviously extra time yesterday as well. So they played 9 games in that time. In that period, United have played 6 games. And on top of that, so 3 games fewer, which is it's massive in terms of what that does to your body, particularly for Liverpool, who've had a small squad in that period as well, because they've been ravaged by injuries. And so, you know, United have had 6 games in that time. And then not only the build up to this game this week, but then the week before that as well, 2 clear midweek. So, is it any wonder that physically they looked a million miles ahead of Liverpool in most of this game? I mean, you know, it's credit to Liverpool, really, that they could show it in bursts and still sort of show the superiority to United in the periods that they did dominate. But it was kind of inevitable that once, you know, that last bit of the game, that Liverpool were going to absolutely have to weather a storm, and they didn't. And then you get 2-2. And then once you went into extra time, I thought, you know, they're really going to struggle here, and they absolutely did. But the differences in the calendars, the two teams and what they've been competing has been massive. And, you know, you can say it's excuses or whatever, but I think you could see the physical drop off there. It was so obvious with how dominant United were in those periods. I think it was a huge factor in I think, you know, in amongst that, as disappointing as this defeat is, you've got to think across those 9 games that Liverpool have contested in that period, there's been 7 wins, 1 draw with Manchester City that absolutely should have been a win. And, you know, if you get that penalty in the last minute, it is a win probably. And then one defeat against United, which is, you know, Old Trafford's always a difficult place to go. And actually, in amongst that seven games that they do, when one of them is lifting a major trophy as well, with a load of kids who they've had to put into the team. So they've done unbelievably well. And I think, you know, that's why I'm sort of find this one. I don't think it's going to be that difficult to move on from, because it's in the lesser competition. It's come against a team who'd had all that rest in comparison to what Liverpool have come through. Their injuries are now starting to ease, so hopefully this starts to get better. And yeah, if you've come through a really difficult period, and I think yesterday was that final just step too far for Liverpool in the end, and it was probably always going to come at one point. The hope is now that it allows for a bit of a reset now, and they can kick on for the rest of the season.
Yeah, and trying to look for silver linings, there will be a free week or free midweek, won't there, at some point? So yeah, I have to factor that in as well. I mean, it was one of our worst performances in a way, but there won't probably be too many who are delighted, let's put it that way, with their performance. Who did you actually think, yeah, I'll give them pass marks for yesterday?
I thought McAllister was very good again. In fact, the only midfielder really who I thought sort of excelled. I thought he's the only one of the three who starts actually wins over 50% of his duels, which I think you could see that in his performance, in that he was the one who was getting stuck in. He wasn't just getting nudged off the ball. Endo and Szoboszlai for me seemed a little physically off it. Didn't quite seem there. Again, Endo, that's a consequence of the amount of football he's played. And for Szoboszlai, he's just coming back from injuries, not at his sharpest yet. And that game was very intense. But McAllister absolutely won his battles, really good with the ball. He was the one who was, again, showing composure in the right moments. Didn't look like he was going to lose it a lot of the time. And he scores a goal as well. So, you know, we said again, I think he's Liverpool's key player at the moment. I think he's the man who everything goes through, and he's so crucial. The problem was he just wasn't getting enough support around him yesterday of people playing well. But I thought, you know, he could walk away from that game, you know, with his head held high. And I did think he played well.
Kwanzaa, I mean, it seems crazy that, again, Jarrell Kwanzaa played against both Manchester clubs. I mean, arguably the best defender for you yesterday.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
I don't need a VPN. I've got nothing to hide. This is what I used to tell myself before I hooked up with LibertyShield.com. Not only is my home internet now fully encrypted, but I can now access all the websites I want, whenever I want, and do so from absolutely anywhere. As a Liverpool fan, I love to know I can now watch every match, regardless of whether it's on UK TV or not. My Liberty Shield VPN makes sure nothing is blocked and guarantees me super fast streaming speed throughout that match. You can get connected right now with their software package, which includes a 48-hour, no-obligation free trial and instant access to their apps for Apple, Android, Fire TV, PC, Mac, and Android TV. Or go a step further like I have and get one of their pre-configured VPN routers. These small but powerful devices allow you to easily connect every device in your home to VPN, making it the perfect solution for smart TVs, Mac boxes, and games consoles. Visit LibertyShield.com today and use coupon code AIVPN25 to get 25% off at checkout.
Yeah, I mean, he's always going to be busier than Van Dijk, isn't he? Because, you know, no one wants to go near Van Dijk. So he gets more opportunities maybe to defend. And it's kind of weird, isn't it? We're talking about a 4-3 defeat thrown away in the last minute. And we still think that the centre-backs actually played well. And I do think they did. I think the protection in front of them wasn't right. I think both centre-halves did well. And Kwanzaa, again, you know, he's doing it on the biggest stage. You know, he absolutely did a decent job, and not really to blame around any of the goals or anything like that. I just think he did his job really well. Passing was great. That dribble was fantastic. Very Joel Matip-esque. So, another step up for him, and another sort of proof of how good a player he is. And the fact that, you know, I said Joel Matip-esque with his run there, maybe that's kind of proof as well, again, that Joel Matip, who's going to leave this summer, which we absolutely expect will be the case, then Kwanzaa has very much put himself in the running to be the direct replacement. Do Liverpool need to sign a centre-half? I ask this question all the time. You know, if Kwanzaa's this good, maybe not.
Crazy, isn't it? And it's weird for the forward line, considering we scored three goals as well. It wasn't really the best day for the forward line overall. Was there any of them that you gave real pass marks to?
Not really. I mean, I thought Salah was okay when he was on. Again, he's kind of working his way back to fitness, isn't he? He's missed a lot of football in recent weeks. So, but, you know, I thought Nunes didn't play well. I thought Diaz didn't play well. You know, Nunes, that's a great ball back to McAllister actually for the goal. You know, first time picks him out. That's a really good contribution, but didn't think his overall game was very good at all. And Diaz pretty similar really. And yeah, not a lot of praise for the attacking players. I just didn't think, you know, there were so many situations where the XG wouldn't have been as even if Liverpool had generated the high quality shooting opportunities that they should have from the positions they found themselves into. And they just, you know, that's one element of the game where they should have been more dominant. And if they had generated those shooting opportunities, they would have probably gone on to win the game, but the just final ball every time was rubbish. And you do have to give credit sometimes to United that they're rubbish, but the sixth, like they're not relegation material. So sometimes their defenders, they were hanging off to the last second to then burst out and close down the shot. But again, it comes back to showing that composure in the right moments. And again, we could throw back to, is that a little bit of mental fatigue from what they've been through recently? Maybe. But yeah, decision making wasn't great. And I didn't think, you know, despite scoring three goals, I didn't think that the attack was very good at all, to be honest.
Yeah. And even, the substitutes when Gakpo came on, the starting forwards as well. I mean, is that ultimately, you think, sort of the key underlying point? Jurgen Klopp alluded to it, that we had the chances, didn't we? It was just the final ball. And quite often, I know certain players get stick. I know Salah gave it away or didn't make the right pass at the last minute. That 5-on-2 is probably going to haunt a few of those players for a while. It was just that final ball throughout.
Yeah, that absolutely. I mean, the Gakpo one, I kind of feel sorry for him at the moment. He's getting absolutely battered, isn't he? And he's not in his best form, but he scores two on Thursday, by the way. And I think we spoke about that in terms of he's your fifth choice forward. He's not always going to be perfect. And he's clearly in a little bit of a dip in form at the moment, but he's still got a big role to play. He's played a big role in getting Liverpool into this position this season with some of his goals have been very important. So, you know, you shouldn't forget that. And I don't think any forward really played well yesterday. So to single out Gakpo is rubbish. But, you know, Nunez was terrible. Diaz was terrible. Salah was passable. So, you know, Gakpo was just, he just met those levels basically. It wasn't, you know, he wasn't the one who should be getting singled out. I think the reason he is being singled out is because he's not playing fantastically well at the moment. And I accept that, but it shouldn't be that he was the absolute problem with Liverpool's performance yesterday. And one thing I will say actually about the 5v2. You know, yes, Liverpool absolutely should do more to make the most of it. But one thing, and I thought it as it was unfolding, if you watch it again, in fact, I probably need to watch this back just to check, but Conor Bradley is the widest man in the five when they're going forward. And for some reason, just towards the end, he drops and tucks in behind to allow Elliott to be the widest man. Now, for me, what he should be doing is keeping the width of that attack because that's how you drag them apart. Even though Elliott is wide of the last defender on this side, Bradley needs to keep the width because what that does is gives them the option in their minds then to go completely wide to Bradley for the pullback or the shot across the... That's absolutely what he should have done. But for some reason, he turns it into a 4v2, which again, Liverpool absolutely should do something with that. But if Bradley makes it a 5, it stretches them, gives him the option to go on the outside for the cutback or the ball across the box. And for some reason, he drops in at the last moment and makes it a 4v2. And I just think that was a bad decision. It was one of many bad decisions that was made in that run forward. And that was part of the reason. And obviously, the pass was terrible. What ended up being done with the ball was not very good either. So it was a culmination of a few mistakes in the players in that situation. I thought that, you know, that could have been the moment that won the game. Because I think Liverpool go 3-1 there. It's... You know, the United's head's dropped and it's game over. And again, we're looking at this performance then and saying, well, look, they weren't great, but they still won anyway. It's just unfortunate they didn't make the most of that moment. And there were quite a few of those kind of moments where they got in behind that space and didn't do anything with it, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's probably the key factor. It's the result that writes the headlines sometimes, isn't it, as well? So, yeah, what we'll focus on. I mean, one that this didn't seem to get any focus at all for some reason. It kind of bemused me. Bruno Fernandes on a yellow card. Szoboszlai Honest thoughts on that? Are you going to? I know you're a big defender in a good way. Look at it objectively, so that's why I'm coming to you for this one.
I think he could have had no complaints if he was second yellow. Absolutely, I don't think there would have been an absolute scandal if he'd have got a yellow card for that. It's a little bit reckless, kind of diving in, isn't it? I think what you know, you do kind of rarely see yellows for the ones where they get the shot away. I think that's possibly helps him out a little bit. And as I say, I think he could have had no complaints, but equally, I don't think it's a scandal. When I saw the challenge it go in, I didn't think that's a nailed on yellow every time I've seen one of those. Yeah, I've seen leniency in that situation. I just think it was one of those. It's kind of on the line. Could have gone either way. Not the reason that Liverpool lost. It would have been nice to get it. Don't get me wrong. Absolutely would have been nice to get that one and 10 men. I think Liverpool absolutely go on to win that one. But I just don't think it's that egregious a mistake, or it's just one of those that didn't go in Liverpool's favour. But there were other moments in the game they could have made that an irrelevance anyway.
Yeah, true. And the grand context, it's not one of the major things, is it, realistically? And this one I did want to ask you about, because it's interesting. You mentioned it before. Gakpo had a poor game, and that's fair to say, but very much seems to be on the scapegoat bandwagon at the moment. Yeah. Again, it's not trying to divert the attention onto a new scapegoat or create one, but the two big errors it feels late on, like Nunes coming inside and that pass to give them the equaliser and Harvey letting it bounce, they are bigger errors really in the context of yesterday, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, it's just, this is again, it comes back to almost fatigue, because I'm kind of like, how infrequently do we see this sort of stuff from Liverpool? They're so good in moments and don't make these mistakes. And so, you know, again, don't want to hammer Nunes for that one. It's just, I mean, I think the manager will go to him and say, why are you ever passing inside on that situation? Don't ever do that again, please. So that's one he can learn from. Absolutely. It's a poor mistake. And I thought his performance in general was way below the level he's shown recently. So again, I'm coming back to what will be the reason for that? Is it that he's absolutely crap and this is the end of him? Or it's just probably that he's got through a lot of football. He's had an injury recently. He's not in his top shape. So, you know, I think it's easy to sort of find mitigating factors around this. And again, Harvey, he'll look at that one. He'll be absolutely gutted. He didn't just boot the ball up in the air the first time it came near him. Yeah. You know, he's trying to control it because he's trying to get Liverpool back on the attack. But, and again, you know, so many things go wrong after that. Conor Bradley's so unlucky with the way that sort of situation unfolds. He does it perfectly, holding his position, gets out to Ahmad, and then he just scrapes a finish into the far post, doesn't he? I know it's a great finish, don't get me wrong, but it's also kind of fortunate as well, the way he just dribbles in past Kelleher. So, you know, Liverpool just, a couple of mistakes there from Nunes and Elliot. But again, you don't want to be too harsh because of the circumstances around the game. And they'll absolutely look at those moments and know they should have done better. But again, both, you know, in Harvey's case in particular, he's still a young player, isn't he? So I just think these are learning situations. I don't think Nunes will be playing that inside pass again either. So it's just one of those. And you can't focus too much on these errors because, as I say, it's come after a remarkable run that Liverpool have been on in the most difficult of circumstances. Sometimes mistakes happen and you just got to hold your hands up and say the opposition maybe did deserve to win because you made too many mistakes.
Yeah, and if you don't make mistakes, don't take your chances. It usually goes one way, doesn't it, in all honesty, in that sense. And we've praised him, Jurgen Klopp, so often this season, quite rightly, especially the area we've praised more than any, subs, getting them at the right time. Did it not just feel like yesterday, in a bad way, every sub, it just progressively got worse? Was that fatigue, or did you think the subs just weren't kind of up to pace, as it were?
Yeah, no, I do think the fatigue comes into it because even the subs you're bringing on, you know, Harvey Elliott, how much football has he played recently? It's not like he's coming on completely fresh. And, you know, his substitutions were even dictated by that. I mean, my next door neighbour, unfortunately, is a Manchester United fan, and he texted me after the game and said, can't understand why you brought Salah off. And it's like, well, yeah, in the context of the game, why would you? He's always that threat, isn't he? And it makes it easier for United when he's off the pitch. But the fact is, Liverpool have got to be extremely careful with him because of this hamstring injury that he's had. And then he had a recurrence of it as well. So they've really got to treat him with kid gloves, really. And the what happens then is that you're bringing him off in a situation where the game's in the balance and you become a weaker side. And unfortunately, Liverpool, you know, that stuff's being dictated to them at the moment because of the injury crisis they've just come through. It's not like these were tactical subs, and they've gone against Jurgen Klopp. I think a lot of the decisions were made on the basis of freshness and who had to come off, rather than making decisions to go on and see the game out or to go on and win it. And that's just the situation Liverpool find themselves in. So it can't be too critical of Jurgen in that situation, I think.
Yeah, and you kind of said it there. We know Szoboszlai and Salah. It was quite clear early on they weren't completely fit. So they're never going to play all the game. You're going to have to make those decisions. And yeah, he played everywhere. And the defence with Joe Gomez coming on, Gordon Bradley, just didn't quite seem right. But again, like you say.
I do think on that, actually, just sort of hark back as well, though, to the team selection on Thursday. I do wonder if you look back on that now with some regret. Because at the end of the day, you know, it's so easy with hindsight, isn't it, to go, well, he shouldn't have played a stronger side on Thursday. But, you know, when you do show that tiredness towards the end of a game, you are having to make these subs. You know, did you need to keep Salah on for 90? Was there an option to not do that? Szoboszlai, similarly, could you have, you know, could he have had his 90 here instead and maybe done 60? I think, you know, like I say, hindsight's 20/20, but I do think you will look at those decisions and think, well, that kind of cost Liverpool a little bit. Jurgen Klopp surely will have a little bit of regret around the decisions on those fronts. And, you know, that maybe that's a part of why Liverpool go on to lose and don't show that energy. So, you know, you open yourself up as a manager when you make a decision like that to the criticism that then follows if the following result isn't correct, and it wasn't, and the performance wasn't there either. So I think it is fair to say that, you know, maybe he didn't need to go quite as strong on Thursday, and Liverpool sort of suffered for that on the Sunday.
Yeah, true. It probably, yeah, like you say, hindsight's 20/20, but yeah, lesson to learn for the international break. And I mean, it kind of felt like we were down. And then Jurgen Klopp does his post press conference and mentions Diaz, Nunes and Gakpo and possibly Knox. And, you know, you were thinking, here we go again. Is there any update on that? Or are we just waiting to see if they go to internationals and go from there?
Yeah, I think it's just a case of all three scans today to have a look at what the issue is. And then, you know, a decision then will be made on whether they can go on international duty or not. I mean, the hope is that that's kind of international duty-itis, as they might call it. I think those might be clever little withdrawals, hopefully. And that would be on it. I think sometimes you shouldn't deny players the option to play for their countries. And it is important to the players and obviously the fans of all those nations as well. So I never always want to side massively with clubs on these things and all withdraw them. Who cares? Whatever, you know, international football is important to a lot of people. So shouldn't be dismissive of that fact. But in this specific situation that Liverpool are in, with the injuries they've had, the football they've played this season, the fact that a lot of these games for a lot of these sides are friendlies as well that are coming up, it'd be so nice if these three all just got withdrawn and it wasn't an issue and they were going to be back for Brighton, because Liverpool, they just need a period of rest. Played so much football at such high intensity. They do not need to be flying around the world to represent the countries. And if they could, if you could just get these three withdrawn, I think that would be great. We've already got Salah having a nice little rest now as well. So that would be great. And for, I know that's from a purely selfish perspective, but it really, really would be helpful to Liverpool if that was the case.
Yeah, if we could have our entire forward option, all our senior fit forwards, having that rest. I mean, fair play to Umar, who messaged me on Discord to even say, all those nations, Uruguay, Colombia, Holland, are all playing two friendlies, and even sent me the information that Uruguay's are even in France and they're playing a Basque specialist team. It's not even a proper international, like, so you're just thinking, Nunes, any point risking it? But we'll see what transpires. I suppose
anything that Basque team will be absolutely relieved if he doesn't turn up.
Exactly, like something like that. It's like a celebratory moment for them, realistically. that's the hopefulness, that our forwards are going in with the rest, and that's the big positive. Is there any other big positive to try and lighten the mood you would say you really took from yesterday or going into the next stage of the season?
Yeah, I think, look, the injuries are clearing up finally. Hopefully there's nothing serious in any of those. You know, Gravenberch back on the bench yesterday. Curtis Jones absolutely will be back for the Brighton game. Then hopefully Jota and Trent Alexander-Arnold the week after that. Maybe Alisson even, or if not, maybe the week after that again. So, you know, the injury picture is massively clearing up. I do think not having a semi-final to squeeze in, as you mentioned earlier, is helpful. You know, that I think it would have been the Fulham game that would have got knocked to midweek if that was the case. And that's a tough game, you know, to pop into a midweek somewhere. You know, Fulham are a difficult side to play away from home. They've beaten Arsenal there. They've beaten Tottenham this weekend. So. Yeah. That's a tricky game. So to just squeeze it in as if it's nothing, you know, I think that would not be helpful at all to Liverpool. That is a tricky one. Marco Silva always seems to make it really difficult for Liverpool as well. So, you know, I think that's a major upside. So and with the injury picture clearing, I think, you know, to have two fewer fixtures or potentially two fewer fixtures in the calendar is massive and hugely helpful to Liverpool. So, yeah, I think that's all the positives to seize onto going into this. You know, yeah, I think the squad's going to be looking in far better shape and they can go back into this now. You know, there's been talk of them maybe stewing on this defeat for 2 weeks, but footballers are, you know, unbelievable at just letting that go completely and switching off from it. And the fact is they're going to come into that Brighton game with you know, feeling like they almost have a point to prove. And I think there's going to be a really energetic performance in Liverpool, particularly if they get that rest in the players as well. So, I think this is maybe, it's come at a good time for a reset, not of all the games you could have lost, not the worst one. So just go forward and take it forward into the rest of the season. Let's hope for a really successful finish now.
Hey guys, it's Eddie Gibbs from Anfield Index here. I hope you're enjoying this podcast and I'm sorry to call time on the show before it ends. In the current climate, it's tougher than ever before to offer podcasts for free. At Anfield Index, we produce over 75 free shows every month, which I'm confident is unparalleled in the LFC sphere. Whilst we'd love to offer everything for free, the production costs now make this impossible. That said, we don't want to follow the model of other channels and lock all of our content behind a paywall. So what we've decided to do is to continue offering every show for free, but cut that offering to 30 minutes on our longer shows. So to get all of our shows in full and enjoy the best of everything we have to offer, we really hope you'll consider supporting the channel and signing up at AnfieldIndexPro.com. For about the price of one cup of coffee, you'll get every podcast in full with zero ads. You'll also get access to our LFC VIP community, where you can enjoy live podcasts, engage with our podcasters, and chat with other Reds in real time. So that website again, AnfieldIndexPro.com. Join today.
Sports Social Podcast Network.